this week again, as I mentioned, we're going on with improving our posture. And I told you we're going to talk about prayer and worship and giving and doctrine. And this week, improving our posture is in the area of doctrine. Now, doctrine is a belief or set of beliefs or an idea or set of ideas that you hold to believe that are true and that you teach those things. Now, just for clarification, for simplification, today when I speak about doctrine, we're really going to talk about the Bible and talk about God's Word. And so I'm not talking about a specific set of beliefs so much as I'm talking about that we believe in this, the inspired Word of God, and talking about the Bible as a whole. We're going to be talking about, as we do different things, last week we were stepping up. We were stepping up to the plate, we were stepping up our game, whatever, and the improving our posture, we're going to do some steps. This week we're going to do some sitting down, and we're talking about sitting in doctrine, and the things that we can learn from this. And again, we'll discover these are internal things that we do, not external things that will improve us. Improving our posture, last week in Romans 1:16, we said, "For I am not ashamed..." I'm sorry, we didn't say this last week, but I'm saying it this week. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes." Amen? As we enter in today's message, I do want to reflect on a couple things from last week, though. The first one is Romans 12:2 that we did mention last week. And it says, "We are not conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of our mind." And I told you we should approach and see people differently, problems, work, relationships, giving. We should see those and approach those areas of our life differently. As Christians, as Christ followers, when we see people, we shouldn't see them as no good, useless, ugly, of no value. We should see them with the same eyes that God sees them with the same eyes that God created them with. They may just be in different situations and circumstances than we are. Remember, number two, last week, when your effort is low, you're more than likely thinking about the obligation rather than the opportunity. When your giving is low, when your attendance is low, when your time studying God's Word is low, when your work performance is low, when your relationship performance and accountability and the things that you put into your relationship are low, you probably look at that as an obligation rather than an opportunity, and there is a huge difference in the two. Amen? Those that know will say amen. There's a huge difference in the two. I know on Wednesday night, Eric talked about saying please or saying thank you and I'm sorry and those things. And what stuck out in my mind was when you do things out of obligation, you sometimes expect that thank you and you get offended when you don't get the thank you. But when you look at things as an opportunity and do them as an opportunity and you don't get the thank you, big deal. I had the opportunity to bless someone. I don't care if the thank you comes behind that. It changes your total outlook and how you spend time with people. I know Cindy and I talked about that the other night. At work, they fed everyone. Box lunches, fed everyone in the entire company at all our stores, corporate office, everything. And I couldn't help but notice there was a ton left over when I left at 5 o'clock. So at 8:15, I called and said, "Hey, is there a bunch left over?" They said, "Oh, there's tons." I said, "Could I come pick that up and go deliver that to people that need it?" And we went down and I thought, well, we could take it to this place or that place. And Cindy said, "Why don't we just go find some people and ask if they need some food?" And so we did that and just handed out those box meals. And what an amazing time, just as a couple it was for Cindy and I to do that. And I'm not talking about toot, blow my own horn. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about as we did it, realizing we're the hands and the feet of Jesus, realizing we didn't have to put on this big production and say, "Hey, we're going to do this." It's just us going down to do this as an opportunity. Some people thanked us. Many people thanked us in the name of Jesus. They know their Lord and Savior. They're just in a bad spot. And they said, "Thank you, Jesus." We met one group in particular hanging out in their cars and next to their cars. So grateful and so thankful. And some didn't thank us. And I said, "Man, I don't know who did and didn't. other than I'm just, you know, some people that did it over and over, you remember that. When you look for opportunities, that reward is in itself. And that comes from God and not from a thank you from someone. And the first guy we gave some to, he said, "Do you happen to have some water?" "Ooh, no, we don't." We buzzed down the street, got some cold bottles of water, and delivered those with every other box lunch we gave out. "You need two? Here, take two. Take a couple." Opportunity is where Christ followers stand in line to say, "I want to be a servant and I want to serve others." And it's opportunity, not obligation. And then the third thing I want us to remember as we go through this study is, if you want God to send the rain to your field that desperately needs it, remember the story of the farmers. They both desperately needed rain. If you want God to send the rain to the field, to your field that desperately needs it, pray. But as you know the story, that's not it. And then go prepare your field for the rain. Amen? We can't just stop at prayer and think we've done our job. We're going to be talking about that in the next few weeks as we get into prayer. We think, "I prayed, I've done my job." And sometimes, believe me, that prayer is barely a bottle thrown in the ocean to God. "Dear Lord, you know the prayer, please meet it. Thank you, I've prayed for them." And we walk off. We've done our job. We've done our obligation. But the opportunity is praying and then going out to our field and preparing. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, with me to Psalm 119. Some of you are already going in your mind, 119. As I recall, that's the longest chapter in the Bible. Are we going to read that whole thing? No, a good answer. No, we're not. Psalm 119. And what a great psalm this is. Actually, they all are. They talk about worship, they talk about prayer, they talk about the enemy. And this one is a psalm of meditation on the excellencies of the Word of God. Psalm 119, and I really wanted to start at the beginning, but I'm just going to start at verse 9 through 16. Again, we're not reading the whole chapter. But 9 through 16, it says, "How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word, which my whole heart I have sought you, with my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies, as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word." Okay, what does God's word say about God's word? It was all right there. Verse 9, God's word. It can cleanse a young man's way by taking heed to it. Verse 10, what does it say about God's word? Let me not wander from it. Verse 11, I have hidden it in my heart. Why? That I might not sin against you. Verse 12. God's word. Teach me. Verse 13. With my lips I have declared God's word. Verse 14. What about God's word? I have rejoiced. When was the last time you cracked open your Bible, let alone rejoiced in reading it? And please don't raise your hand to throw out answers. It's been 10 years and 12 months, or 11 months and 12 days. But really, when was the last time you opened your Bible, studied it, let alone rejoiced in it? And he says right here, I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies. God, I'm reading your word, I'm reading about your law, and I'm rejoicing in that. Verse 15, what about God's word? I will meditate on it. Verse 16, God's word, I will delight myself in it. Flip over a few verses to 105. Psalm 119, verse 105. God's word was all through there, and he says, these are the things I will do with God's word and in God's word. Verse 105, it's a familiar verse to many of us that are familiar with God's word. And he says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn and confirmed that I will keep your righteous judgments. I am afflicted very much. Revive me, O Lord, according to your word. Accept, I pray, the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me your judgments. My life is continually in my hand, yet I do not forget your law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I have not strayed from your precepts. Your testimonies I have taken as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined my heart to perform your statutes forever to the very end. And I love the song they put with this, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. And it says, if we pray, God, where do you want me to go? His word will lead you where he wants you to go. What does it say about God's word? Again, it talks about his word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. It shines the way of where you should go. When you want to know, should I go this way or that way? And you know you shouldn't go that way. And God's light is shining here. We talked a few weeks ago about that sin that sometimes we just kind of trickle in and we're like, uh-oh, we're in it. Then the other ones, we dance on the line saying, I know I shouldn't do this, but just for a minute, okay. And then there's the other ones we say, I know this is forbidden, but I'm going down that path anyway. Now, it's all sin to God, but I'm saying sometimes we find ourselves in the middle of it and we don't plan it. Then other times now my children are here, I won't tell that story. Sometimes you just say, just for a second, Lord. It had to do with driving fast, but we won't go down that path. But sometimes you say, just for a second, let me do this. There will be no consequences. Graveyards are full of people taking those risks. Hospitals are full of people taking those risks, saying nothing can happen here. But God's word is a lamp unto our feet. It tells us and directs us where to go. If we're not familiar with it, it isn't telling us anything. Matter of fact, in God's word, he said that to some, the cross is foolishness. God's word, they don't want to hear it. Israelites, some of those didn't have faith. He said, I will give you rest. We'll talk about that in a minute in Hebrews. But he says, I will give you rest. But they didn't want to hear it. They didn't accept it. And they did not enter into that rest that God offered when they accepted him and his word. And that's what I love about Psalm 119. I'm talking about the goodness of his word and the things that it offers. Let's go back to where we were last week in 2 Timothy, if you would. Turn back to 2 Timothy chapter 2. We'll recap a few things and then we'll move on to 2 Timothy chapter 3 after that. But right now, 2 Timothy chapter 2. And we're going to recap in verse 14 what we read last week. And we want to remember that God's word leads us. We'll talk at the very end of the service about it being a tool and how to use that. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14 through 17. And it says, remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit. Are you hearing that? Not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of hearers. Many of us spend way too much time with stuff we shouldn't talk about. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing the word of truth. And then verse 16 says, but shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness, and their message will spread like cancer. We want this message, the good news, to spread. We don't need bad things spreading. I went to this church, or I met these church people, and they were horrible. We don't want that message. We want to say, they welcomed me, they accepted me, they opened their arms to me, they helped me. Oh, and by the way, they taught me. So let's flip over to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Maybe on the same page, I don't know. But the word of truth is the one item that stands against all falsehoods. And if you want to know if something is false or not, compare it to the word of God. Be familiar with where to compare that and line it up to God's word, and it will tell you. Chapter 3, I'm going to do all I can to run through this fairly quickly. But I'm going to read most of it. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form, listen carefully, in verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. And from such people, turn away from them. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. He goes on in verse 10 and says, but you have carefully followed my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, my long-suffering, my love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and Lystra. What persecutions I endured. He says, I've been through that stuff. I've endured these things that came against me. And out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. I don't want to be the one that says, hey, when you turn to God, things are going to be perfect. Hopefully they'll be better, and you have a better way to deal with them. But it says, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution of some sort. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and have been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Our children's church, our King's Kids, is so vital. Our ground zero is so vital. And that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Okay? Thoroughly equipped for every good work. He is complete. How? By the Scriptures. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Okay, what about it? It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction. How and why? That the man of God may be complete. It's not just, hey, try and read this big thing. It's these things are for the man of God to be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work that he does. Go forward just a little bit into Hebrews. Just keep flipping towards the back of your Bible a few pages. And we'll close with Hebrews 4. In Hebrews 4, 11 through 13, it says, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest. That was the rest I was talking about previously. They denied Christ. Their faith was weak. And so they didn't get the rest. God says, man, just come, rely on me, and I'll give you the rest. And they didn't believe that. But he says, let us therefore be diligent so that we can enter into the rest. Lest anyone fall according to the same example of what? Disobedience. For the word of God is living and powerful. It's living and powerful. Remember, we just read that they said they didn't believe its power. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, into the bone, in other words, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Word of God is living and powerful, and it knows the difference between our thoughts and our intents, and our heart. And there is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. We talked about that several months ago. But as we talk about the Word of God, we have to know what it's about, how to use it. You know, I'm no farmer, and I use that story of the farmer, the two farmers that needed the rain. I'm no farmer. I've had plenty of relatives that are and were farmers. I've been to their farms. And I know, generally speaking, the farmers have a barn. And they keep hay in there, and they keep their implements. They have many implements. Most of you are probably thinking, wait, I've been past farms. They just leave them out to get old and rusty and whatever, and sell them at an antique shop later. But most of them that want to take care of them, they'll put their implements in the barn. They'll know where they are. They'll know what they're for, and they'll know how to use them, right? This is our barn. And there are many tools inside of this barn. Many tools for us to use. We have to know three things. Where the tools are. Hang on, I got something to help you, Mrs. So-and-so. Hang on, let me just... I got that tool in here somewhere. Now, most of us have used anything but a hammer to hammer things. We've used the big end of a big, long screwdriver. This looks big enough. We've used the side of a wrench or vice grips or something like that to bang down nails or whatever. And we misuse our tools. We use the wrong tool. And we do the same thing in Christian circles. We misuse this sometimes. Sometimes intentionally, sometimes not intentionally. Just through ignorance of not knowing. But we have to know where the tools are in this thing. So we have to open God's Word and know where to find these things to help us. But eventually, to help others as well. Number two, we have to know how to use them properly. When we get to it, many people do that. Many teachers and preachers do that for their own following, for their own gain, for their own good, for their own TV show, for whatever. And they twist things and they take them out of context and they don't use them properly. We have to know how to use those tools. And number three, when to use them. When to use them. Is this the proper time? Is this a proper situation to use this thing? We have to get better at opening up this barn, knowing where the tools are, knowing how to use them, and knowing when to use them. My mother grew up on a farm, and we've sat through many parades where they've had different tractors. She said, oh, we had one of those on the farm. Oh, we had one of those. And I said, why in the world do some have tires this close together and some have them like this? And some are way out here. She said, each one has a different job depending on what you're doing out in the fields. What you're planting, how you're planting it, and what you're doing with it. And what kind of ground you're going to be in. I never knew. We have to get better at opening this thing up, studying it and learning it. You know, as we see an increase of kids coming in here, we have to have teachers that know how to rightly teach them, properly teach them and educate them, and then grow them up from our youngest to our oldest. From our King's Kids to our Ground Zero group. From our Ground Zero group to our young adults. From our young adults to our older adults. From our older adults to even older adults. But they're the future of the church. Some of the older adults, when they learn, are also the future of the church. But our young ones are the people we need to have that gospel spread. We don't need the bad things spread like cancer. We need the good news spread. Amen? It's not just okay to come and hear God's word. It's not okay to just come in and check out the farm if you want to be a farmer. You can't just buy a farm and hope everything works out okay and the crops just come on their own. There's work we have to do when we leave this place on Sundays and Wednesdays. It's not okay to do that. It's not okay to just pray and then not go out and prepare. We have to open it, read it, learn it, know it, apply it. We have to apply it. Staring at a bottle of soap isn't going to get us clean. You know, we've heard that many times over. You got to use it. That'll get us clean. This will help us out. The external things that we do to improve ourselves or our lives, we have to start internalizing and say, what is it inside of me that makes me think I've got to change the outside? What is it inside of me that makes me in the same situation again and again and again? When I'm on my fifth job in a year, my fifth marriage in 5 years, my whatever, I've changed everything I can. I've changed my hair, my looks. I've thinned up. I've done this. I've added hair. I've added color to it. I've changed the color of my eyes, like I said. I've changed the way I dress. I'm going to the skinny pants and the whatever. I'm going to the ripped stuff. It's the internal stuff that will attract people and affect people. Let's pray. Heavenly Fathers, we just go through this. Man, help us. Help us to grow. Help us to grow together as a congregation. Help us to help one another. Help us to be excited and inspired by your word. Draw us to your word. God, we talked last week about the things that slow us down, the fear, pride, selfishness. Slow us down. Let us rely on you rather than us. But Lord, as we go out this week, pray that you would guide our steps and guide our tongue. God, as we mess up this week, would you bring this moment where I pray for our steps to be guided by your word and our tongues to be guided by your word? Would you remind us of this opportunity to get better? God, where we're at our lowest effort, and sometimes our lowest energy, it may just be through obligation, we're doing things, we're in things. Remind us of the opportunity to have an amazing and wonderful life in your presence, following you. That the life you give us is not restrictive, but one of freedom and joy and pleasure following your word. God, today I just pray that those that are here understand how important the word of God is to improving our posture, to getting better standing in front of you, in your presence, in the presence of one another. Lord, as we look at the next couple weeks, at prayer and worship and giving, all those great opportunities, but also great obligations. Help us prepare our hearts this week for the next couple weeks and the messages you have for us now. In Jesus' name, amen.